what's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show. My name is Andy Munoz. I'm joined today by Alex Napolis and your favorite professional smack talker, Joshua Clark. How is everybody? How are you guys?
You know, I'm fine. How are you? I'm good. I'm great.
Yeah. You don't seem pissed off at all. You don't. Yeah. We did not go on a cool trip without you.
No.
You were there in spirit.
Yeah.
It's fine. I wasn't, but okay. Just let's not talk about it.
We won't talk about it. Yeah. We're here to discuss a new match. The messy stuff is in the past. We wish Josh could have gone, but we don't write the budgets and we don't control the money. Dude, the Mexican food out there was actually pretty bomb, though. You would have enjoyed that. Okay, let's move on.
Just keep rubbing it in.
So we're here to discuss Real Salt Lake versus St. Louis City, RSL versus SLC, if you will. And we're here with thoughts and opinions. We're here to break it down. We're here to talk about the post-match comments. We're about to talk about all of the positive things that happened in the match and maybe some of the negative things and the standout stars or the standout players that have been with the squad for a short amount of time or even shorter than that. So, Alex, why don't you kick us off and tell us about your thoughts on this match?
Everybody knock on wood, because I think we're finally seeing the Justin Glad of old, and I'm all for it. I love it. I think he's been phenomenal. I thought he had a good game on Saturday. Emeka Nelly has been an absolute standout for RSL. Chicharango is going to be Chicharango. Glad that he's got his goal. Glad that he's off and running. Even on a quiet night, Diego Luna was still able to impact the game. And Matt Crooksy. Those are my thoughts.
Ooh, Josh.
That was deep.
That was good. That was a great recap. Let's just end it here, dude. I'm done.
Yeah, I can't follow that.
We're over. All right, cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. New episode of the RSL Show on KSL Sports.
He couldn't hold it.
No. Yeah, tell us, Josh, what were your thoughts, dude, watching the match of football?
I thought we looked a lot better than we did against Miami. We didn't look scared, which I can't believe we looked scared in the first place. I know you guys already talked about it, but come on, guys. I'm still concerned. I know you just said Justin Glad looks like Justin Glad of old, but I'm still concerned about the back line collectively, especially that center back depth. Like, I really do think that's going to bite us. We saw Vera go down for a minute, and with just one guy down, we're in a scary spot, right? So,
yeah,
that is still my biggest concern. Vera getting beat the way he did is concerning, but I don't think it's going to be what we see all year from him, if that makes sense. Kind of like McMath's error on his first goal against Miami. Hopefully these are some jitters, and if they are, you know, if our attack can mold a little more and start finishing those chances, we might be good this year. We might be.
We talked about, you know, I think if you listen to the last episode, Josh, for me, the match against Miami was kind of like a throwaway game. A lot of nerves, a lot of idolizing, a lot of, you know, starstruckness, right?
First and game of the year.
Yeah, you're away. You got Messi, Suarez.
You're the only game on TV. It's all out there.
Exactly. A lot of eyes on you. Would have been cool to get a result, but my feelings were that it was kind of a throwaway match. And collectively, I think we kind of landed on that, right, Alex? And so I want to get your opinion, Josh. How upset were you at that result? Does it matter for you? Is it also a throwaway game for you? And do you feel like this, like, St. Louis match, to me it feels like it was like that was our actual season opener. I know it's obviously
I completely agree, right? Like, when you're kind of going into that carnival, right, it's more of an exhibition at that point. It's really hard to focus on a game when the only thing people can talk about is number 10. And don't get me wrong, I understand it. Greatest player of all time, et cetera, et cetera. But you still got to play a game of soccer, right? There's still other people on the field. It's for me, I'm kind of glad we just got it out of the way. We don't have to think about Messi until potentially the playoffs. But, yeah, that game's whatever. We also looked like it was our first time playing together. There was a lot of miscommunication, a lot of poor touches, a lot of bad passes. So in a weird way, it was like a cool tune-up against the best player in the world right before your season kicks off.
Yeah. It's like going get rejected by the hottest girl in school, right?
Yeah, before you go ask out the mid.
Yeah.
Whatever the kids say these days.
Right.
Look at Alex, he's dying.
He's dying, bro. He's never asked a girl out in his life. No, I don't know. Hair.
Not the Lego hair.
Hey, Alex, I know you've been talking with a lot of like podcast media. You've been guesting on a lot of shows. I know you got roasted on one of the episodes.
I did.
I think it was the Miami one.
Yep.
Did you do a podcast with the St. Louis podcast recently?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I spoke to Matt Baker over at a Flyover Footy from St. Louis.
How are they feeling on it, man? Like going into this, you know, obviously, I don't know. It's at home. They probably have confidence between St. Louis. It's a good club. It's a good side. If you can give us like a recap, how do they feel about going into this one? Did they feel threatened at all by RSL, or did they feel like this match would be in the bag for them?
So it was a little awkward with the timing because they had their game with Houston in the Champions Cup, and we had our game with Inter Miami before we even recorded. And so it was kind of iffy. We were both very iffy on like what squad we were going to get and like what St. Louis side we were going to get heading into this, because we hadn't seen them go against Houston yet, and we hadn't seen RSL go against Inter Miami yet. But he did mention that because of the way that St. Louis plays with their high press, and they want to hold a high line against their opponents, he thought that RSL would struggle playing out of the back like they would like we see RSL play. But I think RSL did the opposite of that. I think overall RSL did a good job on the ball against St. Louis. And I think one of the key things in this game was winning that midfield. RSL really struggled to win the midfield against Inter Miami, but I thought they did a fantastic job of that against St. Louis.
Yeah. And I honestly think once we have Pablo Ruiz dropping back into that deep lying midfielder, he really is, I think our midfield's really going to tighten up and clean up.
Yeah. You know, one thing that that you just mentioned, you know, one thing that was like big time stood out for me was Anelli, and being able to dribble up the ball, come up and basically drive that ball, break some lines, and then give off some distribution. And, you know, Pablo Mastroianni said in the post-presser that he felt that was Anelli's best match. And obviously he got the start. We'll go over the starting lineup here in just a moment. But did Anelli do it for you this match, dude? I mean, I know it's easy just to say, just kind of encompass what Pablo had said. But did you like what you saw out of Anelli?
He was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. He was everywhere. His engine didn't quit, right? Kind of Beckerman-ish.
Oh, wow.
Not to be weird, whoa, but like,
okay. Yeah. I was not expecting that from you, dude.
Yeah. Just some of the things he was doing, right? Just always moving. He would drive at defenders, make a good pass. He was still hard on the tackle. Very, very good performance, man. Like I know we all had super high hopes for Lofelsund, right? Mm. But Anelli's already surpassed anything he would have ever been in that midfield. And he's been right back half the time. So, what a valuable piece, man.
Incredibly valuable. And I think he's a huge reason as to why RSL won the midfield against St. Louis. No disrespect to Nelson, because I really like Nelson and I like how he plays. But had Palacio been in that midfield, I don't think necessarily RSL would have won the midfield as much as they did against St. Louis. I think a lot of it had to do with Anelli and kind of the chemistry that he's built with Brian Ojeda over the course of the last year.
Well, and you could see, you know, against Miami, as soon as the Miami players would press Palacio, he was really nervy on the ball.
Yeah.
The decision making wasn't sharp. Like, he would either hold it too long or lay off a weak pass, you know, behind him to another center back or the goalkeeper. So the difference for me was Palacio was really hesitant in those situations, and Nelly would attack those situations, right? He wouldn't sit and wait. He was just all over the place.
No, and I think just like Andres Gomez, who played very nervous against Inter Miami and did a lot better against St. Louis, I think we would have seen something similar from Palacio had he played. But but when obviously they went with Emeka, and I think at the end of the day it was the right decision from the coaching staff.
Well, and even with Emeka, I think he was one of the brighter players against Miami.
Oh, for sure.
So the bright lights aren't bothering him.
Yeah.
No. Dude, yeah. He was right there. He was getting like face-to-face with Suarez and Busquets.
He saved Andrew Brody from the highlight of a lifetime.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. Amazing.
Not top 10. That's a great memory, though. Like, I'd never be mad if I was like, yeah, you know, like my arm got crushed by someone and I'm laying there in pain and here comes Messi just floating the ball over my face.
Chips it. Beautiful. Yeah, Brody, if you guys had, obviously you guys have seen it, but it was all over our social media, just kind of embracing that moment and just kind of tackling it first before getting roasted online, which is smart. Got to get out in front of those things.
Absolutely.
So real quick, before we kind of dive more into this, there's plenty to talk about. Obviously, we've hit some points, but the lineup, you know, this is like the first time that I feel in a long time like we've got like a healthy roster. We're showing up with our best to compete, and it's pretty promising. It actually makes it really exciting for me. So up top, we've got Arango, got Luna, Ruiz, Gomez, Ojeda, Anelli. You got Brody on the defense, Vera, Justin Glad, Hidalgo, and then McMath. So I do believe that we're coming out with like a strong formation. Maybe there could be some missing pieces there, but do you guys like the product that we're coming out with and starting up with?
I did against Seattle. St. Louis, absolutely. The high press, the controlling the ball through the middle, right? Not just the wings only, but through the middle. Very refreshing. I'm disappointed we didn't get more than one goal because I think the opportunity was absolutely there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just going to come with reps and time this season. Hopefully against Colorado. That's when it's going to happen. We're just going to go off.
Well, I mean, especially like we heard Matt Crooks and he said that he had never even trained with Luna and Chicharango before prior to coming in on Saturday. And he was already passing it around and connecting with those two like they've already played years together. And so just imagine how well and how fluid that attack will be once Matt Crooks is really settled in. Very excited and very exciting to see Matt Crooks kind of hit the mark off and running already with the assist. Defensively, I think we need to clean things up a little bit. I think Katranis will help out with that a lot. Right back, I think, is still a little bit of a question mark for me just because I'm not sure who your best right back is at the moment. Obviously, we talk about Emeka Nelly. I think Bodhi Hidalgo, very underrated in this one. I thought he had an excellent game too. So there's competition for that right back position, and Andrew Brody got to step it up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, this could be Bodie's time to take those reins, really.
For sure.
Like we talked about with some of the younger guys at forward, right? Same can be said for a few other positions. We could see a lot of changing of the guard in a lot of ways. I mean, Emeka Nelly could finish the season in deep lying midfielder role. Who knows?
Yeah, he was asked a question about, if he thought that he could maybe perhaps retain like a starting 11 spot on the squad. So I want to ask you guys the question. I mean, I know it's just one match and we're kind of hot on it. Obviously had a pretty good performance against Inter Miami as well. Do you think that he's inching towards that, or do you think he's earned it, or do you think is there a little bit more to see?
I think we definitely got to see more. It's going to be really hard to replace a Crooks, Ruiz, Ojeda midfield as we're sitting now as our best midfield. But he could definitely be slotting in front of Palacio for that first guy off the bench. No doubt.
I would probably even say that maybe he is the right back starter at the moment.
Or that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like what I'm seeing out of him, man. And also just listening to the post presser, smart guy. I know you got to interview him, Alex, when he first arrived here. So if you guys want to dig deep through some episodes and go way back, there is a fresh interview featuring Emeka from Alex Napolis. A few other points here that I kind of want to hit on. Andres Gomez, from the highlights that I saw, I feel like he was everywhere too. And he was, fighting for the second ball, just creating chances, being creative. saw a lot of hustle from him. Would you guys agree? Did you guys like what you guys saw out of Andres Gomez? Do you feel like he's kind of finding his footing?
I think people were a little quick to throw a lot of criticism towards Andres Gomez after one game, especially like we were talking about. It's going into that carnival is going to be hard, and he obviously played nervous for a majority of that match against Inter Miami, but what a bounce back game that he had. I thought he looked so much better in this one. He looked closer to the Andres Gomez that finished last season, which I really liked. Decision making, I think, can be sharpened up a little bit. There was a couple moments where I think he took one too many dribbles, one too many touches, where he had a pass available. Decision making, got to clean it up a little bit, but overall just a much better and improved performance from Andres Gomez.
Yeah, I definitely think he'll clean it up as, you know, the reps get going. But yeah, a little slow on the decision making, but other than that, he played pretty well.
Cool. So we get to the moment of the 74th minute. And, you know, I was really disappointed in the broadcast, just the way that they described the goal and celebrated it. I know, obviously, it's Chicho Arango's 100th goal. That's amazing. That's great. But I feel like the pass from Crooks deserved a lot more love, right? Just a quick touch, and then with the outside of his foot, just puts it, slots it forward for Chicho. And then Chicho is smart enough to capitalize on that moment and then just slot it into the back of the net. So I feel like, you know, somebody, Brian Dunseth, first person come to mind, I feel like they would have pointed out just how brilliant that pass was. And why don't we give that a little bit of love? Let's talk about the connection play. I know we've already hit on, hey, these guys haven't played before, but what did you guys think of the pass? And also, what does that do for your excitement levels on Crooks?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that pass was more difficult than the finish for Chicho.
Yeah.
Outside of the foot, looking in the wrong direction, perfect weight to time the run to give Chicho a chance to get a touch on the ball before the goalkeeper is out to him. It's a very narrow window. Very, very narrow window. So it was beautiful, dude. And if you can do that, just like, hey, guys, nice to meet you. I'm Matt Crixia. Let's go play, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting. And he doesn't fit the profile of like a number 10, right? So it's kind of a weird thing to see on the field, right? Like this really tall guy, like linking up and making all these beautiful passes. But yeah, dude, that's exciting. It's real exciting.
I don't believe he's actually 6'4". I think his hair just adds like 5 inches.
I don't know, man. He was towering over guys out there.
Yeah, he is pretty tall, dude, actually. Alex, what are your thoughts, bro? What do you think?
In regards to the pass, first, take it back a little bit to where the play started. He started the play. He got it out wide to Hidalgo. Hidalgo played it into Luna. Luna quickly to Brooks. Brooks slides it underneath, or Crooks slides it underneath. It was a fantastic team goal all around. I think it was his pass was almost a blink and you miss it type thing, because honestly, I didn't even see it at first glance. I had to watch the replay to realize what had happened. I thought St. Louis gave the ball away right into the path of Chicho Arango, but he was so sneaky with it, and I think that's what made it work. I think that's what made it work really well. I definitely missed it the first time around. I had to rewatch it to see, oh, that was a fantastic pass from Crooks.
Yeah. Yeah, just overall, man, just beautiful. There's a lot of promise in that attack. You know, a lot of people are already getting excited at the prospects of having strong forwards up there. And I think Crooks will complement that, and I hope that it continues. And I think I'm with everyone else on the board of, like, you know, let's see what happens when these guys get some training together, the chemistry levels improve, and they get a little bit more of that trust in one another, right? They'll be able to kind of read each other, and there's going to be conversations of what they prefer on the field. One thing that he pointed out, what was kind of funny in that interview, is that he feels like he's got to basically bring up his Spanish, learn more Spanish, more Espanol. So I thought it was pretty cool, man. I feel like he's going to adapt well. It sounds like he's excited to be here. Also, there's been a trail of comments on our social media from people from his former club saying, hey, you've got a good one in Crooks, like take good care of him. So I feel like when you've got comments like that, I think we've seen trades before or signings before, and a lot of it tends to be negative, like, oh, good riddance. Like, oh, hey, good luck with this guy. So that's kind of something that I'm excited for, and I can't wait to see more of.
Yeah, it was reminiscent of when we signed Demir, right? When we signed Demir, all we got was Union Berlin fans. Like, he's one of my favorites, you know. I'm going to follow him from afar. We're going to see the same with Crooks. I know the first person 2 weeks ago to stop in and buy the new kit was actually a Crooks. It was a Crooks kit, and it was from a Middlesbrough fan. So
awesome.
There's your effect already, right?
Yeah, that's dope. I think his last name, too, Crooks, is so sick.
It's kind of dope.
Yeah, if you get that
The nickname Crooksy is kind of fun, you know? It's,
yeah.
It's better than, a good one. Better than Tree.
Right.
Or like Smith.
Yeah. Right. You know, let's kind of shift the attention over to Chicho Arango. You know, I feel like this is one of the signings that I think is going to make him happy, especially to mesh that quick and already get him scoring. Obviously got his 100th career goal, a beautiful goal from Chicho. Could have been his 101st if he wasn't so offside on that header. But you know, I think towards the end of the season last year, and even going into the Miami game, you can almost see the frustration painted on Chicho's face with the lack of distribution, the lack of opportunities, the lack of link-up play. And so when you have someone like Chicho who is used to playing with some of the best players in the league, granted before he went to Mexico and had his whole thing there, when he was playing with LAFC and had world-class players all around him, we saw the potential and we saw what he could do when he's being serviced. And I think that what he got from Crooks, I'm sure that makes him excited. I'm sure that gives him the confidence that he's going to need to go and have a successful season. So do you guys agree with that? Do you feel like that may change the vibe? Because he's working really hard out there. And I saw some of the frustration set on early. So
definitely against Miami. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, any striker that's any good, right, needs to be fed the ball. Mm-hmm. If your striker is starved, you're not scoring goals. So yeah, of course it's great, right? I think even last year we could have served Chicho better. I think that's an area Savarino struggled in, or Demir or whoever was there, right? So yeah, if those two can really figure out their link up play, or you know, even with Luna and Gomez and Fidel, like it'll be sick.
Yeah, we saw him frustrated against Inter Miami a lot, and I think that's just because we were struggling to get him the ball. And I think in this one against St. Louis, Chicho Arango got on the ball more. We got him the ball more. We serviced him more. There was a specific cross from Gomez in the second half that I really, really liked, that we saw good glimpses again of Andres Gomez. But just continuing that kind of service to Chicho Arango, who will be there to score. I think that's what's going to keep him happy. You give him those opportunities, you feed him the ball, that you're keeping him pleased, and you're giving him those opportunities to get those goals that we need.
And even, you know, the type of service Chicho needs isn't highly difficult, right? A simple pass in behind. That's what Chicho needs. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're asking for, you know, the prettiest crosses in the world or anything like that. So if we can just feed him a couple of those a game, he's probably good for a couple goals a game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm pretty excited. Just moments later, 5 minutes later after we're done celebrating, a ball is played up on the right wing. Vera's there to defend it. He basically gets beat out pretty badly. I'm looking at the highlight now. He the way he's trailing the forward or the right wing, I don't know. I know you guys pointed this out before, but what was that, man? Was that just were we just kind of celebrating a little too much? Was it just a lack of, I don't know what to chalk it up to. What were you guys feeling on that?
He almost just looked like he got out athleticed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, dude.
He almost looks like he trips on himself and gets thrown off balance and over he goes, and
yeah,
didn't even really get the chance to defend the ball.
Not at all, man. Yeah, you're right. He gets bodied. He gets beat to the header, and it's just tucked away 1-1. Pretty devastating, man. Like, you know, to go up 1-0 74th minute, all you got to do is kind of hunker in and play a little bit of defense. But then we have this lapse in defending, and here we are. So, Alex, what do you make of that goal, man?
Well, and I think I'm not sure exactly what the center back instructions are during transition plays like that. But I think when you're kind of sitting back in like a bank of three and you're going to get hit on a quick transition, I think the center back's job is mostly has to be to contain rather than overcommit. And I think Brian Vera overcommitted in that situation. I think if Vera would have waited just a tiny, tiny bit, he probably would have had a better angle at the ball in order to come across and defend it. But I think he overcommitted a little bit. And like Josh said, it's very strange to see Brian Vera be out physicaled, but he got out physicaled. He overcommitted, got out physicaled, got beat, and just couldn't catch up, couldn't track the run. Yeah. And I think RSL just got caught sleeping, and it sucks because it feels like that's the only time in this game where RSL got caught sleeping defensively, and they just so happened to find the back of the net. And I feel like that's unfortunate because it definitely felt like the 3 points were there for the taking for RSL.
Absolutely. You know, what's crazy is as Brian Vera's trailing, you can see Justin Glad basically squaring up, getting in front of McMath. And so you've got two bodies. And even with McMath planted and trying to get a deflection on the shot, it's so bad. Like if you guys go and watch the replay of it, it also makes you question how sharp Justin Glad was on that one. Granted, you can't really pin it on him, but it is hard to put all the fault on Vera on this one, especially when you got Glad standing. I mean, he's literally in front of goal, and he just gets, you know, the ball basically goes off to his right.
But so, it's reminiscent of last year where it's frustrating that we're just giving up stupid goals defensively.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely, like, dude. You got, okay, listen, you've got this goal that's happening, and right now in the box, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Real Salt Lake players in the box. Granted, you've got Vera trailing, Justin Glad planted, and then you've got two other individuals. I'd say it's Hidalgo, and I'm not sure who the other is, but they're there. And it's just crazy, man. The angle, winning the ball, running it to the end line, and then just still managing to get it around Justin Glad. Like it's
a great finish, right?
It's a great finish, but it's pathetic. But that is a kind of goal that would blow off the roof off of any home stadium. Even to get the draw, came in the 78th minute. And unfortunately, that's kind of where we ended. We ended 1-1. So go ahead.
There was that one chance by Julio at the end that I thought was going to go in. And then St. Louis cleared it off the freaking line.
It's unfortunate.
Devastating.
Hang on. I want to see if this is in the
highlight. We can never have nice things. You
know? Well, it was awesome because like Julio's had a great preseason. And, you know, he checks into this one with Fidel maybe a little bit too late. I think it was like, what, 85th minute when they both checked in?
Yeah.
A little bit late to impact the game, but as soon as I saw him come on with Fidel, I was like, oh, hey, maybe we'll get some Anderson Julio magic in this one. Yep. The same magic that Anderson Julio always provides for us. And sure enough, he gets his chance. And I thought it was just going to roll into that bottom corner. And then Jake Nowinski comes across, makes a beautiful defensive play. And
in the 96th minute.
Yeah, it was literally last second.
Beautiful link to play with Chicho. Chicho feeds him the ball. Julio strikes and is cleaned up.
Devastated.
Jump out of your seat when you saw that?
I did.
Yeah.
I absolutely did. And like I said, it sucks because I felt like the 3 points were there for the taking for RSL, and unfortunately just couldn't get to the finish line.
Yep. There are definitely points that at the end of the year when we're trying to claw into the playoffs, we're going to wish we had.
Yeah. But just
every year.
You know, I know that we had really good results on the road last season. It's unfortunate that right now it's not translating over, but a draw on the road?
That's good. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely could have had three.
That is crazy. It was crazy close. Now, I want to kind of do something new this season. I want to grade every individual match, and we can do a collective grade. So from an A to an F, where would we put this match? And you know what, Alex? You know, A is really high up there. Okay. Yeah. A is like,
are we grading on like how entertaining it was? Or?
No, I want to say like, you know, just effort. We're going to say effort, result, play on the field.
Okay.
And I think people will be forgiving if we don't get it right. But I kind of have a grade in mind right now for this match.
Let's all say it at the same time.
3, 2, 1, C plus. Alex, what did you say?
C.
Okay. All right.
We're close. Right? All right.
Alex is a tough grader though, man.
I thought he was gonna go like B minus or B.
Yeah. I say C plus because there was a lot of effort. There was a lot of promise shown. There were a lot of
entertaining moments. Up.
Yeah, I mean, even Fidel Barajas coming on and doing a little bit of impact that he did. You know, I like what Pablo is doing right now with the rotations, with the subs. So far, remove the messy match out of the equation. I liked this match. I thought it was good. And so good for me is a C plus. A B minus. No, actually, it would have gone maybe like a B plus, A minus had we converted that goal from Julio. But that's kind of my grading system. And you guys can elaborate on yours.
I'm just going to keep mine mysterious so people can try to guess my mood. It'll be more like a salt meter.
Alex, why do you say it's a C?
I feel very similar to how I felt after Wednesday in, hey, there's a bunch. There's so many positives. There's so many good things that this team is doing already early in the season. Continue to build on the positives. We got to clean things up as far as the defensive side of the ball goes. But I think at the end of the day, there's a lot more positives than there were negatives in this one. Much better performance. Clean up the rust, clean up the dust, and let's go to LAFC and get a good result. That's the way I see it.
Well, we're going to LAFC.
You know what I meant.
Let's go.
It's gonna be a tough match.
It is. I think it's going to be a toughy match.
Hopefully. They look pretty good.
They do. They looked really good against Seattle. But
Seattle's weak with all their injuries, right?
Well, that and the way I'm kind of going with this match is this LAFC team is very new. They lost so many players. They had so many turnover in their squad.
They have only, what, 20 on their roster right now?
They have the least amount of returning minutes from last season across the entire league. They lost so many players over the offseason. This team is still really, really new. They're still going to be gelling. So what better time for RSL to finally take the curse off their back, get their second win ever at America First Field against LAFC than this Saturday at the home opener?
You know, a lot of potential there. The weather is supposed to be kind of bad, so that's a thing in our favor.
It's supposed to be cold.
There is potential, but Dennis Bwanga is on the field, right? So
yeah, and
it's a tough game.
Denny Bwanga is going to be a guy who's going to impact the game and make a difference no matter what. But so is Messi, and I thought RSL did a decent job on guarding Messi. And so if they can kind of come out something and do something similar on Denny Bwanga, I'm going to feel pretty confident heading into that LAFC game.
And honestly, we've never controlled the midfield against LAFC.
Yeah.
And they've always had a solid back line. And I think, you know, they did get Atuesta back. But I think if we can really control that midfield and win those early battles and not let Bwanga get those cheap runs in behind and do a lot like we did against St. Louis, we have a chance to beat LAFC, no doubt.
That'll be key for sure.
I think if you start Crooks, it's a nightmare for LAFC, honestly.
That'll be nice. That'll be great. Nice.
Should we can we talk a little bit of crap on our old rivals with their revamped squad?
Yeah, let's talk about it. So which rivals? Which rivals?
Called Colorado.
The Rapids.
With all their money spent, all their players coming in.
Ooh.
Don't get me wrong. I think Colorado will end up being an okay side, right? I don't want to talk too much crap too early, but that was a lot of hype for you to get beat 4-1.
They looked poor, man.
Against, let's be real, Timbers aren't that strong of a squad either. Nope. And they also have a questionable coach coming in, just like Colorado. So, I'm excited to get at them early.
I'm looking at the results around the league, and no one got beat as badly as Colorado.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. And so we'll go, let's do quick results here. Charlotte over NYCFC 1-0. Charlotte basically doing like sellout crowds. It's insane. Philadelphia, Chicago, they went neck and neck 2-2. Orlando City, Montreal, draw 0, no goals, boring. DC United over New England, 3-1. Also, Aaron Herrera, now on DC United.
With the assist.
He grew his hair out. He's got like a little mullet. He looks so cool.
Yeah, he's almost unrecognizable, honestly.
That was a glow up, dude. He looks so cool. He looks so cool, man.
We got it. We got to put a little asterisk on that one, though, because New England played with 10 men for like 70 plus minutes.
I don't know. All right. Yeah, you can.
I'm still on the fence. I'm still on the fence about DC.
Yeah. All right. DC, I mean, yeah. 3-1. Whatever. 3-1. Austin and Minnesota, 2-1. I heard Drewski had some comments saying that the fans deserve more and that their play is not where it should be. So he was basically tearing up his team a new one.
I mean, every new team has come in so hot and had to be deflated horribly.
You always call that. Always call that.
Every team's going to go through it, right? The only team that really hasn't is LAFC.
It's the new season success, and you're like, man, I can't wait till they get humbled. And here they are getting humbled.
For 2 years now.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Dude, Austin FC fans, dude, if you ever hop onto their Twitter feeds or forums, dude, they're so upset. They're over it. Yeah.
Matthew and they're brand new. It's hilarious.
Matthew McConaughey can't do nothing for them. obviously, you got St. Louis and RSL 1-1. And then you got Houston Dynamo, Sporting KC 1-1. Always teams to look out for and keep an eye out. And then you've got FC Dallas 2-1 over San Jose. And then you've got Josh's favorite, Portland 4-1 over Colorado. Just absolutely handed to them. Right now it's I feel like the league is kind of kicking off to how we would expect it to. I know we're a loss in and we're a draw in, but that seems pretty standard. I'm sorry. It's pretty normal.
Yeah.
We usually start the season pretty strong.
Last year we did. Usually. Last year we did. I think 2022 we did not, but last year we got the win in Vancouver and then we lost like 4 straight.
We didn't look bad. We looked bad throughout all of it.
It's hard to say. Yeah, it's so hard to say, dude. Yeah.
We're looking better this year. That's for sure.
We always make season predictions too, man.
Way too early. 10 games. 10 games.
Dude, I think mine came, it was like pretty close to coming true last year, though.
You're pretty spot on sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I said we were going to hot start, fizzle out, and then somewhat of a run. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
This season feels different, though. Do you guys want an Andy season long prediction?
Let's hear it.
All right. I feel like, listen, all of the pieces are there, right? There's a lot of promise. We loved Amir Krylock, but remember that he was on our roster. He was hurt. He wasn't going to be implemented. And so it was like it left a big question mark on the season last season. Now that he's out, now that I've seen a little bit of Crooks, literally like 5 minutes, and the freaking 5 minutes that I see him, he's assisting one of the best passes that we've seen in a long time from an RSL side. I think we're going to do better at home this season. We might struggle on the road. I think we'll absolutely make playoffs. And I feel like, man, this is so early, dude. But you know what? It's weird, bro. I don't know. I think I had like a moonstone in my diaper when I was a child because I can, I'm pretty spot on with these things. I think we go Western Conference final, bro. And I don't know the result, bro. I don't know the result.
You guys heard it here first. Lock it in.
I don't, I don't, yeah, should we lock it in? I don't know the result, bro. I don't know if we're going to win. I don't know if we're going to lose, but I know we're going
to
make it that far.
Way to take the easy way out on that one.
I would happily take a Western Conference final appearance, though.
Okay, yeah. But a Western Conference final appearance going in as the last seed again?
No, no. I feel like we're going to be positioned nicely, dude. Like,
okay, we're not playing in game.
Well, how nicely are we talking here? Like, are we hosting the Western Conference final?
We are hosting.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Lock it in right here.
You've looked at our bench, right?
You know what, dude? I operate based off of feelings, bro, and usually my feelings are correct.
He's pretty,
well, based on our bench spot on. And our depth.
I've been spot on, dude. What?
Well, I know, but I have to counter you.
Do you remember, like, what did I say the other season? Like, I don't know what season it was. I go, dude, I even made SKC's prediction, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I even told you what was going to happen with SKC, that they were going to come back to bite us, and then they came back and bit us hard.
Listen, I'm just going to be the opposite of you.
Mm-hmm. Don't put that energy out, dude.
No, I'm just saying there's concerns about our depth in certain key positions. And if anything were to go awry, a hamstring, a red card, whatever,
we're
in trouble.
All right, hang on. Stop. I take what you just said, and on behalf of all the Real Salt Lake fans, we are taking that in a little ball, and we are diverting that energy away to another club. We're not accepting that negativity here. That's not going to happen. We're going to have a healthy squad rotation. We're going to have some breakout players, dude. We're going to go far, bro. And we're going to be booking our tickets to the Western Conference Final, and it's going to be against – actually, it's going to be here, but it's going to be against Houston.
Wow.
Oh, buddy. And then we're going to have to play Corey Baird in the final, right?
Oh, we're winning this time.
The game winner.
We're winning this time, bro. Corey Baird will not be there because he'll be injured.
He's playing for FC Cincinnati.
Well, exactly. So
we're going to see him in FC.
He'll be in
the MLS Cup final, and he's going to score the game winner.
There you go.
A beauty from 18 yards out of curler in the 98th to just bury us.
Bro, no. Please stop. Please stop.
Just being real,
stop,
man.
It. Josh, stop, dude. We got to – bro.
We're not even going to make the playoffs, bro.
Ew. Get that negativity out of here, dude.
Just kidding. We will.
Well,
we'll
hey,
make the
playoffs. Right. Well, Josh does the reverse thing. But, dude, you got to – bro, honestly, guys.
Listen. I just don't say what I'm feeling like you do, because if I do, it doesn't come true. But if I say the opposite –
dude, that's where you're wrong.
There you go.
Oh, here we go with
that's
this
where
again.
You're wrong, okay? That's where you're wrong. I just did something on my screen.
That, happens to him when he's making these predictions is weird.
That's true.
This whole, like, laser show just happened on my screen. Listen, dude. I'm going to tell everybody on this podcast right now, okay? We're not even talking soccer. What you put out into the universe comes true for you, okay? So all I'm going to say right now is that we as a collective, Real Salt Lake fans, right now, if you're listening, let's just close our eyes, unless you're driving. Everybody in the room, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Repeat this with me, okay? Josh and Alex, okay? Repeat this with me. Here we go. Real Salt Lake has a strong squad.
Real Salt Lake has a strong squad.
Josh, come on. Josh, do it.
I can't do this.
Bro, you're holding us back, dude.
Are we willing ourselves to an MLS Cup final?
Yes, and you're holding us back, bro. We need to believe.
If we start down this road, then we cannot be negative one time this year.
We can be
negative. If we start down this road, we have to do this after every episode. And we have to have people do it during games. We can't give up. If we start this process, we have to commit. Full commit.
All right. So at the end of every single show.
And then we have to tweet out, we're all going to do this together. And we have to do like retweet chains to make sure people are doing it.
If you don't retweet this, you are going to.
You're going to end up a Colorado fan.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Maybe we won't go that deep, but I would.
No. You started it. The words have been said. Real Salt Lake has a strong squad.
Real Salt Lake will be victorious. Okay, say it with me.
Real Salt Lake will be victorious.
Real Salt Lake is going to a Western Conference final. Say it with me, guys. Come on.
Real Salt Lake is going to a Western Conference final.
Real Salt Lake will be 2024 MLS Cup champions. Say it.
Real Salt Lake will be 2024 MLS Cup champions.
All right, there it is, guys. We're going to be doing that after every episode. Wait, dude, imagine the when we have that one match that's like 5-0, we just absolutely just got railed, and we're like,
Real Salt Lake, a strong
squad. Real Salt Lake will go to the West.
Or as you know, we're slowly eliminated from any of these things. Like,
no, hey guys, no, I have a good feeling, man. Honestly, look, when we went to Miami, dude, the locker room felt good. Pablo was Pablo. I feel like there's a lot of positive around the squad right now, and so I think, you know, guys, just put out the right energy out there. Put all the stuff you want out in the universe, man. It's going to happen for us. And I would love nothing more to come back and be like, play this episode because I called it. It's going
to
happen.
I will happily be wrong, as you all know.
Yeah, we need to. Bro, we need a championship, Josh. Why do we need a championship?
We need a championship.
What did we say we would do if we got a championship?
Retire.
We're done. We're handing this RSL show off to Alex, and that's it. It's just him. It's not even us anymore.
Would we let Alex pick replacements? Or would we like pick replacements for him?
I don't know. I feel like he's got.
Would we have to sign off on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a good judgment of character.
Because there's some people that if Alex brought him to me and was like, "I want to replace you with him," I would just tell him no.
Yeah.
That was so like anticlimactic. I would tell him no.
All right. Well, hey, guys, look, RSL versus LAFC. We've got a what was I going to say? Brand new stadium. We don't have a brand new stadium. We have kind of a new name. Is it still America First Field?
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. OK, so we got America First Field. We got fireworks. We got some pyro. Just kidding. I don't even think there's fireworks at this match. But listen, there's some really cool stuff happening. There's been a lot of changes at the club. Ownership, all that good stuff. We got the moving pieces. We've got the pieces that we've been asking for, right? We got some of the signings that we've been asking for. We got, let me just add this. Everybody was really hot on Severino. Guess what? He's gone. And I felt like that dude held us back. That's a direct call out. That's crazy.
I completely agree. I think
dude's gone. Overrated.
We talked a lot about it last season, about how he looked disinterested, and half the time he didn't play.
He's overrated. That's a problem. That's a dude that's throwing out the negative energy. We don't want that shiz.
He ended up in the second division of Brazil, right?
Please. Like, yeah, absolutely, dude.
Whatever. Bye, Sava. You know what? I'm feeling feisty right now. I'm more irritated with Sava than I was with Rusnak.
Oh, dang, wow. Bro. Yeah, I've forgiven Rusnak, man. Severino, yeah. It's like, come on.
I've definitely forgiven Rusnak. I'd allow Rusnak to come back and play with us.
Really?
Sava, if they were like, Sava's come back for a third time? No.
Hell no. Not. Nope.
No chance of no.
So, yeah. Alex, would you take Sava back?
Jefferson Severino is public enemy number one.
Dang.
No, he's just like, he's blocked.
Yeah. He's blocked. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done.
Mm-hmm. I've changed his name in my contacts to do not talk to this person.
We gave his sweater to his sister and be like, look, I don't even want to deal with him, but here's the stuff.
Dude, I threw his stuff out the window.
Yeah.
It's on the front lawn.
It's over. You ain't coming back.
No.
We're going to hit up our boy Rusnak. See if he wants to come chill.
We're going to take... a talk with X?
That's
All right, hang on though. Wait, Seattle though, dude, real quick on the topic, bro. Sickest kit.
I hate the shorts, man. I wish they were a little darker, but I just have something against baby blue. Mm. I've had it my whole life. I hate it. I hate it so much.
I feel like I'm the
but
only
the top. Dude, I love the top. How do you not love that top?
I feel like I'm the only person that does not like Seattle's new kit.
That's weird.
You're crazy.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, but you like Colorado's.
Yeah, I thought Colorado's was nice.
What's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah, something's wrong with him.
Your hair is getting in your eyes, bro.
It's getting a little too hot under that mop, for sure.
Time for a haircut.
Burning off some brain cells.
Dang, dude. All right, guys, we're going to conclude. If you guys enjoyed the RSL show, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on KSL Sports, RSL Show, all the good stuff. If you guys see us at a match, come say what's up. We're always good for it. We love to hear from the fans. And we will follow up after the LAFC match with you guys. Remember to follow all the social media. We post goals, we post commentary. There's a lot of stuff going on. Instagram is fun, but if you want to get more into the conversation, follow us on Twitter. And remember, we do have a YouTube channel, so go check that out as well. This is Andy Munoz, Alex Napolis, and Joshua Clark. We'll see you guys on the next one. Do you have something to say, Josh?
Yeah, I was going to say giveaway is still open.
Ooh, yeah, giveaway. Guys, yeah, we're giving away a kit. We definitely got signatures on it. Remember, it's unlimited. It's unlimited, so...
Enter, bro.
Blast those. Yeah, blast those. Because if you do it 200 times, that's 200 entries. We're going to announce the winner on Friday, the day before the match. And hopefully that kit will be yours. It is team signed. We got it signed in Miami. So really cool history there. It was in the... Messi was walking by. We had him like spit on it. So win the kit. All right. That's been Andy Munoz, Alex, and Josh from the RSL Show. We'll see you guys on the next one.